Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you with us again for another in the series of Read the Word. Read the Word, Read the Word, Read the Word. And it's, you know, it's one of the most coolest programs we've ever done. Most coolest. I don't know if that's how you talk where you're from, but... Excuse me. But that's how we talk where I'm from, most coolest. This is one of the greatest programs I've ever been a part of. And what's crazy is I'm the one that's recording it, but it ain't because of me, because this is the majestic word of God. And it is able to make you stand. I'm telling you, if there's ever been anything in your life that you build your life around, make sure you build it around the Word of God, because it is His Word. It is His Word that is able to make you stand. And in the Old Testament, God said, "My Word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent." And you know what's, I think it's pretty amazing. I don't have to send this word. Goodness sakes. I don't have to send the word. I just got to be faithful to speak it. God sends His word through my lips as oral, but into your heart from His heart. You just hear my lips and my voice. And as I continually become a better and better pipeline of God's word by my own willingness to be used by God, then this word becomes more and more and more powerful. Well, the word's powerful. The word's all powerful. But as you and I surrender to it and just say, "Here am I, Lord, use me," then all of a sudden people's lives are changed. And I think that my life has probably changed more than anybody's this year. As we've read through the Word chronologically, I think my life's probably changed the most of any of us. But you might argue, but you know what's cool about it? It don't matter who's right, because we don't ever compare ourselves to anybody. And Paul actually said by the Holy Spirit that those who compare themselves by themselves will only have them be as intelligent as themselves. And then he called that a deception. And so we don't do that. But I know my life has changed by the Word of God. And there's some doctrines that people have taught down through the ages of church history that before this, I'd be like, "Man, I don't know. I'm not going to be worried about that." But I no longer have those questions. Why? Because out loud, for 365 days, we're going to be reading God's word out loud. And I've never done that before. I read the Bible, but I don't read it out loud. And literally, when you read it out loud, it takes on a whole new meaning. And it's very powerful in Jesus' name. We're in the book of Hebrews. And the first six chapters was about Jesus becoming the sacrifice and our elder brother, and he was better than the angels and better than the prophets. And you and I lay the foundation of the faith and then move on to perfection. And don't have a hard heart and come boldly to the throne of God. That's Hebrews 1 through 6, sort of. This next one is Hebrews chapter 7 through 10. And this is about Jesus, the high priest. And I think some of my most favorite verses about that is found in Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. Jesus gave us a better covenant, based in better promises, sworn in His own blood. And we're going to read it, and it'll be a blessing. Grab your Bibles, hold them up, let's make our confession. And those of you that's with me on Zoom, you can join with me. Say this with me: "This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Tonight, we will read God's word.
Tonight, we will read God's word.
And this word will get down in our life.
Get down in our life.
And transform everything about us.
And transform everything about us.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen,
amen,
and amen. Hebrews chapter
amen.
6, verse 12 says, do not become sluggish. Evidently, you can be. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Well, of course, that's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse, and me. But it's not only you and I. But it's not only those in the Bible, but imitate those who are our spiritual leaders, who by faith and patience inherit the promises. You can see them use faith, you can see them use patience, and you can see them inherit the promises. I think one of the coolest ones I'm viewing right now is the believers there at Living Word Church with Dr. Marty Barkman. Since the beginning of the pandemic, since like 2019, they started that building program, and they have literally raised $3 million cash, somewhere in there. During the pandemic, during a huge flood in their community, 8 to 10 conferences a year, doing everything God gave them to do, helping more people than they've ever helped. And they've raised $3 million cash to build some buildings and upgrade things and make things better. And what is it? It's you and I hearing his voice, being obedient, and watching him making something really big happen in our lives. And I've now gone to preaching, and I'm just supposed to be reading. Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of peace, meaning, or king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Remember what happened here? 4 kings went against 5 kings. And the 4 got their butt kicked, and they carried away Lot, Abraham's nephew. And somebody came and told Abraham, and he's like, you're not taking my family away. So Abraham took his 318 men and went and fought 5 armies and defeated them and came back with all the spoil. And that's when he met Melchizedek and gave a tithe of all the spoil. Now, let's keep it. Verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here on earth, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. I don't know how people can say tithe ain't in the New Testament. There it is, in the New Testament, telling us that mortal men here now received tithe. Verse 9, even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron. Old Testament priests were called by the order of Aaron, who was the high priest. Jesus, the high priest, is after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was before the law. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to us? Thank God for the law pointed us to Christ and showed us the need of a Savior. But don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there. We need the Savior. He's on this side of the cross. And everything on that side, well, many things on that side was done away with. Verse 12, I'm in Hebrews 7:12. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he, capitalized, circle it, of whom these things are spoken, belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not of the Levitical priesthood. Let us just soak in, you know. That's why I like putting these on YouTube, because you can go back and listen to it again. Verse 14, if it is evident that our Lord rose from Judah, which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood, and yet it is far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Fleshly commandment was going to live and then die at the cross. When Jesus said, it's finished, spread out his arms, body's dead, and gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple, rent from the top to the bottom. Never again was it necessary to ever sacrifice another animal. Matter of fact, there was a whole bunch of priests that day who, when that veil of the temple was torn in two, from the top to the bottom, them boys split. Because something just happened in that temple. I'm not the high priest, and I'm not going in that room. Somebody else can. Because if you only went in there once a year, and if you went in with sin on you, you died right in the presence of God. Are you ready? But you and me, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the dwelling place of God. Certainly, God, our Father, sits on that throne, but he lives in here by the Spirit of Almighty God. So God doesn't have a hard time leaving you because he's in here. Unless, of course, you only view him like he's way out there somewhere on the throne. And I can't ever get through to him because I don't talk about enough and I don't have enough friends to create a 1,000-member prayer chain for God to finally listen to us. See, that's not the Bible. Jesus said, ask what you will and it will be done for you. Jesus said, wherever two or three of you agree together in my name, there's no storm the gates of heaven verse in the Bible. There's many people in the Bible said, pray loud, maybe he'll hear you. But you and I in the New Testament, God lives on the inside of us. I have no idea how I'm going to finish because all I want to do is preach. Verse 17. For he, circle it, that's capitalized, he testifies, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment because of the weakness and the unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's so much to teach right there. I just got to keep reading. We'll come back here and grab this another day. 22. Underline this verse. Highlight this verse. It's important. By so much more, Jesus became a surety of a better covenant than they had. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, capitalized he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is intercessing for you. You're going to make it. Somebody shouted, I'm going to make it. Roger Oxy, where are you, man? The great amen.
I'm going to make it.
Amen, fellas. Hallelujah. All the way from Louisiana. I'm reading 25 again, no matter how much time it's taken. Therefore, he also is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession for you and me because we come boldly to him. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who's holy, one, harmless, two, undefiled, three, separate for sinners, four, and higher than the heavens, five, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for thus he did once for all when he offered himself. It's only done one time, and it was done for everybody. For the law appoints as high priest men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Chapter 8, the new priestly service. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you have all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Want to say it with me? Jesus makes it better, better.
Jesus makes it better, better.
Not butter, butter. Remember the old commercial, butter, butter? No, Jesus made a better covenant and better promises. How? Sworn in his blood. Remember what we just read? Once and for all. This is the coolest thing about God. God does not require you to repent for every single sin singularly. He just says, repent and turn to him. There's no way you and I could remember every sin we ever committed. And to God, he don't care. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and welcomes him in, Jesus is coming in. He throws all your sins in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Never. Now, when you and I see that, all of a sudden we got to realize that is our nature. That's our nature, because we have the nature of God. Our nature is to be able to forget sins and not hold them against people. I know some of you are like, your nature, Pastor, but I'm having a hard time with that. I know, you might be. What you need is the revelation of the Word. You don't need a counseling session. You need to get your nose in this book and see what God says. And I have a whole message on that if you'd like to hear it. But you're going to have to email me for it because I don't have the link right now. And once again, I've gone to preaching and I'm supposed to be reading. Verse 8:6. But now he's obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he's also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Jacob, Judah, Israel, and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If you want to see those verses in the New Testament, right there by verse 10, 2 Corinthians 6:18, you'll see the exact same words in the New Testament. Paul is quoting the Old Testament in the New. Verse 11, none of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Doesn't that make you happy?
Amen.
Makes me happy. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made. A new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And, of course, by the time the Apostle Paul is writing this, you're talking about probably 50 years after Jesus has rose again and ascended. So people are getting established in the faith now. And yet, remember, the church is only 50 years old. Welcome to all of our friends on YouTube. We're glad you're there. If you don't sign in the chat, I don't get to see your name. You don't have to have your name. But if you do sign in with your name and your location, where you're from, that encourages everybody's heart. And it's a lot of fun. See who all's here and where y'all from. And we welcome you today. Here we go. Chapter 9, verse 1. This chapter is one of the power chapters of the New Testament. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine servants and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil was the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, and which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod, and the tablets of the covenant. It doesn't sound like God has a problem with gold, does it? Verse 5, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, I know a man who saw things from heaven that were so holy he couldn't even speak about it. And he said, I don't know whether I was actually there or I was here seeing it in vision. Well, personally, my personal opinion is I believe the Apostle Paul was actually in heaven when he saw that vision. And he's talking about it right here. Verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest also went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest, not the other priest, the high priest went alone once a year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerning only with foods and drinks, various washings, fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. God set the example by the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then, of course, the temple that Solomon built, and then the different ones built temples in the same manner. But when Jesus bowed his head and said, "It's finished," and the veil of the temple was rent in two, it was never again necessary to ever sacrifice another lamb, ever. Why? Because he was the sacrificial lamb. Verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. When Jesus entered with his blood into the Holy of Holies, it was done forever for everybody. Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. That's all they did. It did not purge any sin from you. It just sanctified your flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse or purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's how we say it and why we say it in our communion elements. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, so that you can and will serve God. Verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator. Jesus is of a new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. When you think about that fact, that you literally go from being a mere earthling to an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Wow. 16. Where there's a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Where a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all, while the testator lives. So if you wrote a will, nobody can take what's in that will from you until you cross over to the other side. All right. 18. I'm in Hebrews 9:18. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus shed his blood, and now sin is placed in remission in our life. Isn't that something? Do not look up. Cleanse your conscience by the word. All right, I'm over here. For when Moses spoke in verse 15, to all the people according to law, he took the blood of calves and goats, the water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. And Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. And he put it in a little glass and gives us the ability to celebrate it every day. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. 23. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the truth, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God Christ. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men once to die, after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once. Get this. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Jesus is the faithful high priest. Now we got one more chapter. I'm telling you, reading the word of God out loud, in my opinion, totally changes it. And I'm sure I've heard many preachers throughout my life say, read the Bible out loud. But whatever. It doesn't matter. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. It did not make you perfect. It just covered your sin till you sinned again. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. That's not possible. Verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the field, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. You want to say it? I delight to do thy will. Verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and other offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he might establish the second. Now, it does do you really good to go through there and underline all those personal pronouns, because it'll give you a new revelation of God when you read it. Verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Aren't you glad? Hey, Wayner dude, you made it, man. Love you, brother. It's good to see you here, John. Good to see you here. You found the path. I love it. And just so everybody knows, I'm just going to pause. I'm on verse 11. If you're having trouble with an app, do not think it's, don't call yourself stupid. Because as soon as I started creating everything tonight, I clicked one thing and it wiped it all off. And I've done this 1,000 times. It doesn't matter. Don't let the app get you offended and point your finger at whatever you got on there and you're trying to make work and just command it. I command you to work, and I command the angels help me have the understanding of how to do the work. Whatever you do, don't be offended at an app. That's not a good choice. Verse 11, every high priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. They did it daily. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Did Jesus, why did Jesus sit down? Because he was tired? No, he sat down because his work was finished. And it was established before the foundations of the world. All he had to do was walk out the days. And that's just the same thing that you and I got to do every day. 14. For by one offering he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, after he had said before, this is the commandment I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I don't know who you are, but it doesn't matter. Don't let the conduct of your former days control you another day of your life. You get this one verse out. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and he has set me free. That free indeed. And you don't surrender that to anybody, anywhere, at any time. Woo! I just want to preach. 15. But the Holy Spirit also bears witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them. Those days, says the Lord, I'll put my law in their hearts, in their minds I'll write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there's remission of sin, there's no longer an offering for sin. Once the sins are placed in remission, it's done. 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to stand on the outside, knock on the gate. No. We enter right in with boldness to the holy place. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full of faith, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let's confess the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not strife, not division, not confusion. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And if you want to write it in there, right after good works, write Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 in there. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? do not do those three things. Do not do it. Verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Call the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. Partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the serving of the soul. The saving of the soul. Now, let's condense four chapters into a couple lines. We call this part of the program Circle the Wagons. Oh, give me just a second here. And that, what's that mean? Well, at the end of a wagon train day, they all put their wagons in a big circle, and it made it easier to protect the perimeter while they slept from marauders and wicked people. But think about this. Jesus, by the Father and the Holy Spirit, is revealing to us, the book of Hebrews, how it actually matches the Word of God and who Jesus is, all the way through the whole book. And so we have him as a servant. We have him as a savior. We have him as a deliverer, as a healer. We have him as vengeance against our enemies, because now there's some enemies. And so what are these chapters saying? Jesus is the most faithful high priesthood. We, by the Spirit, get to enter into his throne room. He, by the Spirit, comes back to earth and fixes and blesses every situation around us. And I got some miracles happening this week. Can't tell them about you. I can't tell them about you yet, but it won't be long, and I'll tell you about them, because God is continually working. God is working. And if you and I just get our eyes off of the work of being a believer, just get your eyes off of that and just be a believer. And every day, everywhere you go, just say, I'm a believer. That means today, everybody's going to notice I'm a believer. They're going to want to walk with our God. Jesus. Wow. That was a lot of verses, but it's all right. Fires you right up when you hear it, doesn't it? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. I'll give you a few words at a time. You say it with me when we're finished with this program. You will be right with God if you know it. Here we go. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
So here's where you make your bold confession. So Jesus, this is my bold declaration. I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
I believe you are the only begotten Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day,
for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. So I live in power. Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
And pray in my heavenly language.
In
Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Here you go, guys. Give me a high five. Welcome to the kingdom. Pastor, you seem pretty fired up, but I love this part of this program because I know people are praying all the time. Honestly, now, some of you may have missed the rapture, and now you're freaked out going, Pastor, I missed the rapture. Don't worry. I won't be anywhere to be found. I'm going on the first load. But every one of these videos will still be here because I'm speaking it in faith that no matter what, during the tribulation, people will be able to find my video. They won't be able to shut them off. Because you're going to have to get your Bible out. You're going to have to get these videos out. You're going to have to go ahead and stand stronger than you've ever thought of anything about standing. Because you got to make it all the way to the midpoint of the tribulation for the second rapture. It's got to happen. Otherwise, if you take that mark, it'll be eternity for the damned. Anyways, back to the people who are here in this day. Don't miss the rapture. Keep yourself right with God. Remember, you didn't just get a church. You didn't get a religion. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get no little club card. You just had God Almighty come to live on the inside of you. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 17 says that the same Jesus, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. There's only one. God doesn't have a big G for, big HG for all the big jobs and then a little one for the little jobs. It's only one Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you and me. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, every day when you wake up in the morning, just before you get out of bed, just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me walk with you. I know your wife might think you're nuts. I know your husband might think you're nuts. It don't matter. I choose to walk with you, and I'm going to talk to you all day long. And the Father's going to be like, woo, somebody's finally talking. Because he loves communication. And at first, you might not totally get it. At first, you start listening for God to talk into your ears. Like, no, it's going to be an inward witness in you. If you talk to God and ask him a question about everything, even whether or not your seatbelt's hooked right, he will begin to talk. He's always going to be talking to you. The difference is, can you hear it? And the way you get to hear it is by desire and seeking after him. What's the best way to build that? Every day, all day long. Talk to the Father. And he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And you'll be able to be connected to us every time we come on this program. And tell your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. Tell your enemies. Send them the link to the prayer. To the Read the Word program. Send them a link. Why? Because when you send them that link, it's in their email. Now it's up to them what they do with it. As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him suck air. You can lead a horse to water, put their bridle on it, come along, and drag their head underneath the water, but you can't make them inhale. That's on their own volition. And that's what God wants from you and me, is that we'll walk with him because we want to. Paul said that I might know him. That's the greatest desire of the Apostle Paul's heart, is that I might know him. Jesus said, I only do what I hear see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. And I'm going to tell you, that's the goal for each one of us. Help us, Lord, to get there. Help us, Lord, to get there. In Jesus' name. Well, that's not all I got, but it's all I'm going to say because I got another Read the Word I'm going to do right after this. We're going to come right back on YouTube, Zoom, and Blog Talk Radio, and we're going to do another Read the Word and get the book of Hebrews finished this evening. And so come back and join us. I know it's a lot. When you get over here in the Pauline epistles, this is a lot of work, and there's a lot of information in it. But don't worry about it. Just let it go through and tell God, I'm going to do some cruise reading with Pastor, and I received the revelation. And God will illuminate it to you in Jesus' mighty name. Well, until we see you again, this is what we say. Don't miss the rapture. Want to say it, guys?
The rapture.
Amen. You ready? We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord. Now, all of you on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, I haven't seen you in a while, and I've known your name. I bless you. Sister Sunday, we see you. Bless you, Brother Wainer, dude. So good to have you with us, man. It is so good to have you with us, John.
Yes, it is.
It's just so good to see you, man. Our prayers are answered, and you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that's what the Apostle Paul said he wanted, and that's what we wanted. We bless you.
Stick around, John.
and you even get to hear Sister Phyllis and be a blessing in Jesus' mighty name. All y'all come and be with us. Seriously. Be here every time we're on. It's a powerful.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's a powerful, powerful force in Jesus' mighty name. Remember this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen. We're going to come right back to just sit there, and all of a sudden, your YouTube will send you a notification that we're live again. It's probably going to take me about 7 minutes to get it set up, but I'll hurry real fast in Jesus' mighty name. Something's going on here.
The 90-second lady.
The 90-second lady. She don't scare me no more. No wonder.